In 1 John chapter 5, I hadn't turned to it yet, but verse 14 says, and then verse 15 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire to him. We just heard a good testimony about a mother's prayers for a child, and she knew. See, I've observed this lady for a long time, and she had problems in her family, but I didn't see her fretting. You know why? Because she was praying with confidence. This is the confidence we have in him. See, the confidence isn't in us, isn't in our prayers, isn't in my faith. My confidence is in him. That's what faith is anyway, is having confidence in him. Somebody today was discussing with me, and they were kind of talking about faith preachers, and of course, knowing I was one. And I said, well, I'm just going to keep on preaching faith. They said, what is faith? I said, it's trust in God. Who's against that? Faith is just trusting God, right? But tonight, I started last week, and we talked about the practicing. Practice the word. You need to practice the word. Because a lot of this stuff, we've heard it preached, and we've heard it taught, and sometimes you can even preach it yourself, but if you don't practice it, it doesn't work for you. You know, anything you're going to excel at, I talked last week about practicing the piano. And if you want to be good at it, you're going to practice. These musicians we have, I know that Sunday morning and Wednesday night is not the only time they ever sit at that instrument. Part of it is just because they enjoy it, but part of it is you got to keep your skills working. And ball players, I guarantee you, we got a local football team here in the NFL that they didn't get the week off this week because they lost last Sunday. And they've been practicing. I know... The great coach Vince Lombardi that coached the Green Bay Packers, they said he started out every football season, the first day that the team got back together to start a new season. And here he's got these people that are professional football players, and he would hold up a football and say, gentlemen, this is a football. And he'd start them in the basics. And these are guys that have been playing all their life since they were little kids, and now they're grown men still playing a little kid's game and getting paid a lot of money for it. But you have to keep practicing whatever you're doing. And the way you practice something, now, you know, if you're going to practice a piano and you're a beginner at it, I don't think you would start with some great symphony out of, I don't know the names of them. I slept through a course in college on music appreciation. That's all we had to do was sit in there and listen to music. But I picked up a little bit of stuff out of it, but I know some words like Chopin and things like that. See, till I went to school, I thought it was chopping. But you know, if you're going to practice a skill, you start out with something you can handle and do it. And I think that's where some people kind of miss the boat in practicing the word is they don't understand. You have to start out. The way you practice it is by working on something you can handle until you get so good at that you can step up another notch and work on that. Let me tell you something. If you want to find out if your faith will work to heal cancer, now, hoping you'll never have to use it for that, but if you're curious, the best way in the world for you to be ready for that, if it ever should come, is tomorrow when you get a headache, see if your faith will work for that. Right? Tomorrow when your toes hurting, try your faith on that. Don't wait until it's something overwhelming that a Tylenol or aspirin won't take care of and say, well, I guess I'll have to try my faith. Well, your faith ain't in shape, honey. You hadn't been practicing. So that's what, really, I'm going to talk about it from several different angles. Last week we talked about not fretting, but about practicing the word, because that's what we're getting back to, the whole deal. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We started there last week, and I just want to remind you that a little bit. In Philippians 4, it's one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. It will solve an awful lot of your problems if people would practice this. It would just solve so many problems. I got a chance to quote this to somebody today that was worried about a lot of things that are going on in the world and what's going on in government and how it relates to the end times and all that. And I said, well, you know, I believe everything you said, and I think it's interesting, but I also know that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded me in His Word to not be anxious or fretful about anything. And whatsoever things are pure and lovely, true and pure and lovely and of good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, that's what I'm supposed to think about. And so I choose to think about the positive. And see, we were discussing about how bad things are in the churches as far as people's commitment and what they really believe and all that. I said, look, if you know, I don't know what the percentages are in our church, but if we have a church that 20% of the people really believe the Word of God, I think it's really more than that. That's just what I said. I said, I'm going to praise God for that 20% that's doing something for God instead of focusing on the 80% that's not. Now, we'll keep preaching to the 80% and hope they get it, but there's no use getting all beat down because you got a few people that's missing out on it, and when you got a whole bunch of folks that's really doing something. And this church is doing something. One thing we're going to do coming up this week is Habitat has a house going up, and we're going to provide lunch and decided that rather than the ladies have to fix it, which I'm sure y'all would have been glad to do, we just got somebody to swing a deal with one of the restaurants to give us a good cut-rate price on a bunch of sandwiches, and so we just going to buy them sandwiches and send it over there. They'll enjoy that too, right? And I had a note. I saved it to read Sunday, but I got a note from the Gideons expressing their appreciation to this congregation for $1,020 when the Gideon came the other week. Now, the church added a little to that. I think the offering was really about $800, $700 and something, right about eight. And we don't like to give odd numbers because we're givers. And reason is 1,020 because we made the check out for 1,000 and somebody else gave them a $20 bill, so it made that much. But, you know, there's things happening, things going on. Well, you can focus on how you're missing it, or you can focus on where you're getting it right. And but in practicing the Word, it says here in Philippians chapter 4, you know, it says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. When did it say rejoice? Always. Rejoice in the Lord always is not only, now folks that are listening to this on tape or radio, they won't hear the good testimony we heard before this. Known about it, I might have told the men to get it on the tape, but I didn't think about it ahead of time. But here was a mother that, now when the son called and said, Mama, the Lord's turned my life around, I'm off of drugs, and I got a good job, and everything's working for me. Well, she was rejoicing. But I tell you something else. When other folks was calling and saying, you heard about your son? You know what she is doing? She is rejoicing. Because why? Because you have confidence in God. See, He made some promises in His Word. Well, do we believe them or do we not? And it says in verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. We talked about the moderation part a good bit last week, and moderation means you don't have ups and downs. You don't have good days and bad days. Listen, if you know you're going to heaven, there ain't nothing but good days. Ain't nothing. People talk about the good old days. Well, these are the good old days. And in fact, those you remember, it's a lot of times it's folks as old as me that like to talk about the good old days. And I like to remind them, especially if they get to talking about money and how much things cost nowadays. I said, listen, I'm like you. I remember when I could go to the Underpass Cafe and get two hot dogs and a Pepsi for a quarter. But the problem was I didn't have no quarter. Now, two hot dogs and a Pepsi, I guess, is $7 or $8. But praise God, I've got the $7 or $8. So these are the good old days, right? Listen, when I was growing up, and particularly the generation before me even more so, but a whole lot in my generation too, people did not go to the doctor just because they were sick or just because they were injured. You know why? Doctors cost money. I mean, it would cost you probably $5 to go see a doctor, and that was a considerable portion of a week's pay. Well, it still costs you a considerable portion of a week's pay to go see the doctor, but nowadays, and I'm not knocking how it's going today, it's just that nowadays that people are in a better condition that they can even think about spending money on things like that. All right? So what I'm saying to you is we just need to rejoice and be moderate and not have all these ups and downs, because I tell you, if you are down, well, praise God, the only way it goes up. And somebody said, you know, there's that song by Andre Crouch. I love it. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. And I thank him for the storms he brought me through, because if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them, and I wouldn't know what faith in his word can do through it all. Oh, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And why can I be moderate? How can I be moderate when I'm having trouble or when things are going good? Because of the last thing the verse 5 says, the Lord is at hand. Now, you know what at hand means? That means he's close enough you can reach him. And then it says in verse 6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That was our text last week. And in the Amplified, it says, I don't have it here before me, but the part about careful, it says, don't fret or be anxious or concerned about anything. Don't fret or be anxious or concerned about anything. That means, as a Christian, you are not allowed to worry. Okay? It's against the law. Whenever you worrying, you sinning. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Does anybody happen to believe that worry is of faith? No, it's not. Worrying is believing the lie of the devil instead of believing the truth of God's word. And then I told you, it goes on to say down here later on in the script, verse 8 says, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. And verse 9, I should have got to this last week, but it says those things, Paul says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So, you know, verse 6 says, or verse 7 says, that after you've, instead of worrying or fretting, that you've just presented it to God in prayer, by prayer and supplication. Prayer, the Greek word, implies returning God's word back to him, praying the word to him. And supplication is telling him what you need or what you want. And you do it with thanksgiving. And then it says what happens is that the peace of God that's beyond our understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That means peace will come when logically there shouldn't be any peace. Right? You ever had that happen? Well, it's usually after you prayed and thanked God, wasn't it? Peace will come when logically there should not be any peace. And whatever things are true and honest and love, just and pure and lovely and of a good report and any virtue, any praise, this is what you ought to be thinking about. I pointed out last week, you have to apply this whole list of what you think about. He said if all these things are applied, then you can think about it. If not, don't. Because sometimes there are things that are true, but they're not pure and lovely, or good and lovely, or whatever. They can be true and not be pure and lovely. I mean, it can be, somebody can call you and give you some news about somebody that's close to you, or some situation, or something, and it might be true. But if it's not good and lovely, just choose to think about something else. I don't know if any of you have ever gotten calls about, those of you that have grown children particularly, or older teenage children or grown children, I don't know if you've ever got a call that was, it was true, but it wasn't pure and lovely. Well, those of you who haven't, I congratulate you, because most of you that hadn't never had any kids, but there's a few that had missed out on that. Well, thank God for you. But you know what you have to do? You just have to choose what you're going to think about. The message tonight is praying with confidence, but all this is part. You have to get your mind prepared to pray with confidence. You can't just walk in there with all your troubles loading you down, crying the blues, worried about everything, and think that you're going to pray a prayer with confidence, because you are not. You have to first quit fretting, quit being anxious or careful about it before you can ever pray with confidence. Or pray in faith means the same thing. All right? Now, you know, there's a scripture, I won't turn to it, but you're familiar with it, that talks about, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Well, fretting is a weight. Being careful is a weight. Anxiety is a weight. Fear is a weight. And just like when you're practicing the word, and just like building up your body, you start with something small. And you know, we could have a load down here. If I had a big old weight down here that was, well, we could have a barbell thing with some weights on it and say we had 600 pounds on it. Well, could get volunteers. How many feel confident that you could come pick this up and stick it over your head? I picked a number that outside of Richie, I doubt if anybody would be confident they could do it. He's not too sure himself. How about 500? Three? But see, I could get down, well, what about 50 pounds? I'd have a bunch. Yeah, I could do that. I could pick that up. Well, I'll tell you what, if you'd pick that 50 pounds up enough time, tomorrow you could pick up 75. And if you'd pick up that 75 enough times tomorrow, you could probably, next day you'd probably pick up 100. And if you'd pick up that 100 enough times, it wouldn't be long till you could pick up 200. And if you'd pick up that 200 enough times, it wouldn't be long till you could pick up 250. You see how it's going, don't you? Why is that? Because you are practicing, and as you do that, you're developing yourself, and you get to where you can handle more and more. All right, but now these weights that you need to lay aside. So you don't want to go through life carrying a weight that you can't even support and can't hardly carry. If you're doing that, then you are carrying all of, you know what, say you get up to where you can pick up 250 pounds and put it over your head. So I got a weight up here that weighs 250 pounds, and I say, do you think you can pick it up? Oh, yeah, I can pick up 250 pounds. But what you didn't take into consideration is that you were already holding 200 pounds to start with, and you're going to try to pick this up and hang on to the 200 you already have. You're already overloaded. Now, you're able to carry that 200 pounds, but you're not able to carry nothing. You're not able to carry something else that you logically ought to be in shape and be able to carry because you're already carrying a load that you need to get rid of. All right. Now, just like building more and more weight, picking it up builds you up. If you're carrying something like fear and anxiety and worry, unforgiveness, we could name all kinds of things, those things are alive. It's not just some dead thing. They're living. And living things grow. And just like, you know, if you go out here and got a little baby calf and you pick that thing up and carry it around a little bit out in the pasture every day, then as it's growing and getting bigger, you'll just go out there and pick it up and carry it. It's getting bigger. Next thing you know, it might weigh twice as much as it did when you started carrying it. But pretty soon that thing is going to begin to grow so fast that people say when it's a grown cow you could carry it, but you can't. It'll outgrow you. It'll grow faster than you can build yourself up after a while, and you'll get to where you cannot carry that animal anymore. All right, fear and worry and anxiety and all that stuff and unforgiveness and so many other things we could name. Well, of course, those all are sin, but then I'm going to say even the things that you normally think about is sin. It's alive too. And live things grow. They don't ever get smaller, they get bigger. If you're letting fear and worry and anxiety control your life, it will be bigger tomorrow than it is today. The devil will see to that. So, if you insist on keeping on carrying that thing around, now when I say insist, a lot of people, you'll carry the thing for a long time and never even realize you had it. But if you don't lay that down, it's taking all you have. It's taking all the spiritual strength. See, that's a spiritual force. It's a spiritual life. It's a spiritual load. And if you're carrying those kind of things around, it's taking all the spiritual strength you have to carry your worry. And so, therefore, you don't have any time when somebody in your family needs prayer. You don't have no strength left to do anything about it because you're using all your energy carrying that load of worry. All right? So if you want to be able to pray with confidence, you've got to lay all that load down. You have to get rid of all that load and get over and just, and you say, well, how do I do it? Well, you just have, God will quicken the word to you, and when he does, you have to say, praise God, I see it, there it is. And when you do, say, I'm getting rid of this load, all right? So that's the, in a nutshell, how to practice the word, is you just do what it says. And you do it, you know, if you can't, now listen, I have to be careful when I do this and explain myself, but I've had people ask me, I know I ought to be tithing, but there is no way that I can just start out cold turkey giving 10% of my income to the church. I couldn't make it if I did. Well, now, first thing, I know they're deceived, so I'm going to tell them the whole story. But I will say to people, if you're convinced that you can't give 10%, but you think you can give 5%, well, go ahead and give it. But I want to tell you right up front, you're going to have a tremendous struggle, because the windows of heaven don't get opened at 5%. The devourer don't get rebuked for your sake at 5%. Now, but there is a scripture, Luke 6:38, that says, "Give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together." So you give in the 5%, you're going to begin to reap a degree of blessing. And then if you will work your way on up to giving tithes plus offerings, you know, tithes and offerings, that means you can't quit at 10%. That's the starting place. Then once you step over that threshold, you're going to really see something happen. If you have to work your way up to it, I wouldn't recommend it. I would say to you, the best thing to do is just decide you're going to just jump in head first and trust God. Did anybody ever try to get in an ice-cold swimming pool 3 inches at a time? You'll never make it past your knees. The only way you're going to do it is just jump in. Right? Just jump in. And then swim fast. But, so, I'm just giving you that option there, but I say the thing to do the thing to do with anything about believing God is just jump in. Just jump in. Now, I want you to go to Mark chapter 11. You know this scripture, very familiar to you. We're talking about practice the word, pray with confidence. Mark chapter 11. And verse 22, you've heard this preached over and over. And verse 22 says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Now see, it was because of our faith and our confidence in God that we're able to not be careful or anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, right? And then that scripture talked about the Lord is at hand. That was actually over in that other scripture, wasn't it? But verse 23 says, "For verily, have faith in God. For verily, I say unto you, that whosoever..." How many of this, if you got a red letter edition, is this in red in your Bible? Who said this? Jesus said this. Of course, I tell you something, the black words are just as authentic as the red ones. It's all the Word of God. But there's something special about when Jesus Christ himself actually spoke it out of his mouth. That just, to me, that does something a little extra. But Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever..." How many here's a whosoever? Raise your hand. "Shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, what does it say you have to believe? It says you have to believe that what you say will come to pass. Most people that I know that go to church don't believe that. They will argue with you about that. Now, they will let you say, "Well, do you believe in God?" "Yeah, I believe in God." "You believe Jesus, Son of God?" "Yeah." "You believe God can heal you?" "Oh, yeah, I believe God can do anything if he wants to." "Do you believe that whatever you say out of your mouth in faith, believing it'll come to pass?" "Well, no, I don't believe we can believe that, because how you know, this and that and the other thing?" It says, "Have faith in God, that whosoever shall say in this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So somebody says, "Well, yeah, but what if I say something that's not God's will?" Well, I got bad news for you. It's going to come to pass. What if I go around and say, well, I give you, you've heard this if you've been coming around here a good while, but this is so long ago that I doubt if anybody in here would even know who was talking about, even if we said the name, because they've been gone so long. But had a lady in this church way back years back when we first started, had cancer. Now, we've had a number of people healed of cancer, dramatically healed of cancer in this church. But it was the people that got a hold of the Word of God, cast off the care, got rid of the fear, and decided just to believe God's Word. Right? And we've seen healing come. Now, it didn't just come we hadn't had any that just, we hadn't had none of them fall off in the floor. I wish, I'm ready for some, but we hadn't seen that. Most of them had to fight a battle and fight through the thing, but they knew God was working in their body, and they saw healing manifest itself to where the doctor could say, it's all gone, we don't know where it went, but it's gone, right? But now this particular lady had cancer. She had heard all the preaching. Well, she had been in church during all the preaching. I started to say she heard it. I don't think she did. But she did. She slept through it. That's true. Sat on the front row and slept through every sermon. But that's just the way things were. And it was probably worry that put her to sleep. But then when we'd go to the hospital and pray for her, now she'd have a little glory fit when you pray. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. But then as soon as you got through praying, she'd say, I'm dying with cancer. And we'd say, don't say that. She'd say, yeah, but I'm dying with cancer. The doctor told me I'm dying with cancer. Anybody go in, I'm dying with cancer. She believed that in her heart. And she was saying it out of her mouth. And you know something? She died with cancer. So if it, you said, well, what if I say it and believe it and it's not God's will? Bad news. You're going to get it. So you know what? You better be speaking out of your mouth and believing in your heart, don't you, what the Word of God says. Because it says, by whose stripes you were healed. It says He sent His Word and healed you and delivered you from all your destructions, right? It says that no evil shall befall you and no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. It says 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you, right? It says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Says believers, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Says if you're sick, any of you, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church, the elders anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus, and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. So you see, you better be, if you're going to operate in this Mark 11:23, you better be believing and saying what the Word of God says. What if you say and believe it in your heart? Well, I guarantee you, that son of mine won't ever amount to anything. He's going to wind up spending his life in prison, brain burned out on dope, and he'll never amount to nothing. You want me to tell you where your son's going to be? He's going to be in prison with his brains burned out. That's where he's going to be. You said, do you believe that? Yes, because you know why? I believe the Bible. But I told you now, when I started in this discussion, I said, most people that go to church do not believe this. Jesus said this promise here is for folks. Now, they don't, even though they see it working in their life, they don't believe it. You try to get them to say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And they'll say, well, how do I know if it's God's will? I can't say that because I'm not healed. But they'll turn right around and the doctor can say that it looks like you're dying with cancer. And immediately they'll start saying. Now, they don't have any physical evidence. They ain't dead yet. But they'll call things that are not as though they were in that area and say, I'm dying with cancer. Well, how can you say you're dying with cancer? How do you know it's God's will that you die with cancer? Well, now, brother, it's amazing how people believe the Word of God backwards and they won't believe it frontwards. Isn't it? So, but then we got to get on to verse 24 because we're talking about praying in confidence. But see, verse 24 says, therefore, I say unto you. Now, therefore, when you read the word therefore, you ought to go back and see what is therefore. Therefore means because of the preceding statement. Therefore means because of the principle I have just stated to you. Therefore, because, in other words, because if you believe in your heart and speak it out of your mouth, it's going to happen. Therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Therefore, you see, you have to believe that if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, not doubt, but believe in your heart that those things which you say shall come to pass. You have to believe that principle in order to believe verse 24 that says, therefore I say unto you what things soever you do, pray with confidence. Now see, I know I'm going over this like I'm beating it into you. I did this last week. You know why? Because that's what we're talking about, practicing the Word. When I played a little football in high school, I say a little because it was a little, because I was little. And I told you the other day, I got hurt a lot. But we practiced over. You did the same thing over and over again. Simple, stupid stuff. And the coach, when I say stupid, it was just because it seemed like, why do we have to do this again? Because you try to run this play, and the coach says, no, you didn't do it right. Now, it might have been only one man out of 11 that didn't do it right, but you didn't do it right. Now, let's do it again. Well, that wasn't it either. Let's do it again. Well, you missed it that time, too. Let's do it again. Well, go run 10 laps and come back, and we'll try it and see if you know how now. Right? And about anything that you're being taught to do, it has to be that way. How many times, I don't know if my mama ever did this. My mama was sweet as she could be, still is. But I think it must have been my daddy. But I know then I inherited it from him, and how many times I might have said it. You can check with Leslie and find out. When the kids went out in the yard and left the door hanging open. Now, I figure a door has two purposes. One is to keep the flies out, and the other is to keep the cool air or the warm air in. And the door, if nobody's in the process of passing through it, it ought to be closed. And how many times they go through and leave the door standing open, and I holler at them, hey, come back here. Now, go out again, and this time shut the door. Or the other way around is, you know, you went out, and particularly if you was a little upset about something, and you made the mistake of shutting the door a little bit too hard. Like slam. And how many times did you get told, come back in here. Now let's see if you can go out and shut that door right. That's called practice. Right? That's called practice. I've seen two little fellers lately. One of them was when Jane and I was at the beach the other day. Or no, we was on the way at the beach, and we stopped down in Laurinburg. And we don't eat these things at home, but when we're on a trip, we have to go by Wendy's and get a Frosty. It just kind of cheers you up when you're on vacation. But anyway, we stopped there and went in the bathroom, you know, before getting our Frosty. And there was a little old boy in there. But I had seen several do it here at church, and I'd go out and comment and brag on them in front of their parents. But the little old boy, this little boy was probably 5 years old. He used the bathroom, and he started to walk away, but he came back and he flushed it. And then he went over to the sink and he washed his hands. Now, nobody in there but me and him. And then he got him a towel and he dried his hands, and he put the towel in the trash basket. And little old boy, and I see grown men that don't know to do that stuff. None of it. Even the wash your hands part. Right? And so when we went back out and the little boy went over to where his mama was, I said, is that your son? She said, yes, it is. I said, somebody trained this young man right, because I was in the bathroom with him. I want you to know he flushed, he washed his hands, he put the paper towel in the wastebasket, and this is a fine young man, and I'm glad you're training him right. Well, she said, yeah, we've trained him. All right. Well, see, kids don't know that unless somebody teaches them. And, of course, one of the problems, maybe the reason we got so many young fellas that don't know how to do what they need to do in the bathroom, which we have so many of them now that don't have a daddy to go in there with them and teach them, right? All right. Let me just tell you about Ephesians 6. You know it tells you to put on the whole armor of God, starting at verse 10. It tells you to put on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then it talks about some other pieces, helmet of salvation, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. But I want to focus right for a minute. All those pieces of armor, and then when you get down to verse, I think it's 18 or 19, whichever it is right there at the end, it says, as soon as you get all the armor on, you take the sword of the Spirit, it says, praying always. With all prayer and supplication. That's the same thing it said to pray with in Philippians 4. Prayer, prosecco, prosuke, returning God's word back to him. And supplication, tell him what you need. Jimmy Swaggart had a good song about Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you, was it want or need? Need, wasn't it? Want. Tell him what you want. Yeah. Tell him, well, either way. Tell him both. Right? So when you get all that to working, see, prayer and supplication. You get on your whole armor. You put on your belt of truth. You put on your breastplate of righteousness. What's that mean? That means you're in right standing with God. That means you know. You know that when the Word of God says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you read that scripture, you don't think, if I can just get Brother Robbins to pray. Now, he is one of them, but I tell you something, if you're born again and don't have a bunch of unconfessed sin in your life, you are too. You're that righteous person. You're in right standing with God. That means that you got that piece of armor on. And then certainly you need the helmet of salvation on if you're going to go pray and expect to get results. But the other thing you have to have, you're putting on all that armor to go pray. The battle is lost or won in the place of prayer. The reason you're putting on righteousness and truth and the foundation of the gospel of peace, and in fact, one way of translating that word it is in the King James, it says the preparation of the gospel of peace. So that's getting your shoes on, getting prepared to pray. When we travel, you know, and it's going to stop and get a Frosty, I tell Jane 5 miles before we get there, particularly when we used to haul kids around, it was even more important. All right, well, we're going to be stopping in about 5 minutes. Everybody get your shoes on. I didn't want us to spend the first 10 minutes trying to find shoes, right? Well, why am I telling them that? We're getting prepared. And so it's the preparation of the gospel, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. What does gospel mean? Good news of peace. What's the good news? The good news is you can have peace. The good news is no matter what situation you're facing. And listen, if you are getting dressed in all this war gear, war suit, to go pray, there's a good chance that means you got some problems. But you know what? There's no use going in there and trying to pray about them if you don't have peace. About that situation. We're talking about practice the word, pray with confidence. Most folks that are praying don't have confidence. Most folks that are praying are not really expecting God to do anything. You got to get to the place when you pray for other people or for yourself based on the promise of God's word that you know that if I ask anything, this is the confidence I have that if I ask anything that's according to the will of God, then I know He hears me. And if I know He hears me, then I know I have the petition that He asked of me. So how am I going to know that He hears me? I need to pray the will of God. Well, how am I going to know the will of God? I'm glad you ask. If you don't have a copy, let me know. We got some over in the office building. I'll give you one. It's called His will. The written word of God is His will. Get in here and find out what His will is. Then don't try to pray till you know what His will is. Are you trying to pray? You know, you have a child that you're concerned about. Get in the word of God and see what the promises of God's word are for you. You know what? I won't even tell you where this is till after I read it, because you don't need to take time to turn to it, but I'll tell you later and you can check it. But see, I could just flip over to this psalm right here if I wanted to pray about some of my children. The reason I know this is because I use it. And I could just go pray this, get to reading this psalm here that says, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments." That's me. I mean, I love the Word of God. I'm delighted with His commandments. But you know what? Delighted with His commandments means you're delighted with all of them. I am delighted with the one that says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But I'm also delighted with the one that says, "Bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse." I'm also delighted with the one that talks about all these other things you need to do that a lot of folks don't want to do. I'm delighted with the commandment that says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." But then He says, here's the promise to me. He said, "His seed," talking about my seed, "shall be a mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed." Well, praise God, I got something to pray now. I can pray in confidence because I just got over and read what God's will is for my seed, for my generation, for my children, that they be blessed and be mighty upon the earth. So I don't have time to have no bunch of junky children. But what if mine are in a junky situation right now? Get peace about it. Get confidence that that's not the end. No matter how bad it looks right now, no matter how bad it looks on the surface, you're going to have to decide if you're going to believe what you're seeing with your eyes and what folks are telling you, or if you're going to believe what the Bible says about your family. And you might pray and pray and pray and pray. How long did you have to pray, Margaret? A week and a half? Forever. Forever. Amen. Yes, sir. And in the case of the one she was praying for, she had to be a pray about 2 weeks per pound of child. That's a lot of praying because he's big. All right. But now, you see, that scripture says, as I get suited up to go pray, understand, I'm not dressed yet. I can have on my helmet of salvation. I can have on my breastplate of righteousness and know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can have my shield of faith. Think I do, the one that quenches all the fire darts of the wicked so the devil can't stick nothing else in me at least. I can have me the sword of the Spirit, and I can be out here quoting me a few scriptures. I can have, what did I mean? I can have the belt of truth on. But if I don't have, if I'm barefooted, I'm not ready to pray yet. And what do I have to put on my feet? The preparation of the good news about I can have peace in this situation. No matter what the circumstances are looking like, I can go pray and I don't have to pray. I don't have to pray a frantic prayer. See, this prayer that I read, that was Psalm 112 I read to you. And it started out by saying, bless the Lord. And, you know, so many of them Psalms where David had a lot of big problems. He started out, but it says, praise ye the Lord in the King James. But in the Hebrew, this is what David said. It's hallelujah. That's the first thing he said, hallelujah. And just burdened down with troubles. When I say burdened down, I mean he had a load of them, but he wasn't burdened down because he's praying in faith. All right, and then he was praying to pray under the old covenant. I already told you about James chapter 5, just mentioned it a while ago, but do you know, don't you, that the Bible says, is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, and they will anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus, and pray the prayer of hope for you, the prayer of faith. See, I preached the other Sunday morning about why you need to be in a winning church, why you need to be part of a good church. We may have more, but when we put the word out, but Sunday after next, we're going to take in 3 new members that I know of, and they're 3 of our teenagers, because they responded to that message. They heard that message and said, now these are all boys that basically started coming here, but their family doesn't come here. They come here because they court girls that come here. But they came and started coming to the youth group and started coming to the church service. They sit way up there in that last row in the balcony, as far away from me as they can get. But what they don't understand is when they climb way up there, they're further from me, but they're closer to God. And sitting way up there where you wonder if they're even listening or not. They heard me preach about why you need to be a member of a good church. And they said, we want to join the church. We figured out we need to be a member of this church. All right? But see, you need a place where you have folks that will anoint you and pray for you with confidence. Pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. You need somebody praying for you. You need to believe, but you need somebody praying for you that believes the Word of God, right? All right, I'm ready. I'm heading toward the quitting place here. I want you to look at one last thing, and that's Psalm 56. And mostly I'm just going to read it to you. It's not very long. Psalm 56. There's so many great illustrations in the book of Psalms from David when he had difficult situations in his life, and see how he responded. And you might think that old David had it easy all the time because he was a guy that was always praising God. This time last night up until about 12:30 this morning, I was upstairs at the house getting 2 weeks' worth of radio tapes done. And one of them I was using, I actually preached it about almost a year ago about how to win the battle over strongholds in your life. And one coming up here, I think week after next, talks about David and when this was the man that had killed the giant. But then Saul got jealous and David was in fear for his life. He thought Saul was going to kill him. Now, he wasn't afraid of that big old giant, but all of a sudden he's afraid of Saul, and Saul was afraid of the giant. He's afraid of the man that was afraid of the giant that he wasn't afraid of. I don't understand that. But because he got to listening, what was going on, you know, and his mind got to working on it. And so David got in fear, and the next thing you know, we find him over here hiding out, slobbering in his own beard. The great giant killer is over here, got eaten up with fear and slobbering in his own beard. I know that sounds gross, but it's in the Bible. See what a state fear had brought him to. He was carrying a load that he needed to get rid of. Then a prophet of God comes on. That tells all the names of these cities he was in. If you want to hear this, you can go back and get you a 12-tape set of tapes called How to Win the Battle Over Strongholds. It's in one of those. Let me know. I'll just find you the tape that's about if you want me to. But he told the name of all these towns, but the one he was in, they all had a meaning, and the one he was in was a place to hide. He was over there hiding, and even the name of the town meant that this is a place to hide. Well, then here comes the prophet of God along, and incidentally, it tells us about all these people that started showing up there with him, and it was all the people that the sick and the infirm, and they wasn't coming to get healed. He was just attracting bad company. You know, when you're in fear, you'll attract bad company. You start slobbering in your beard, you're liable to attract bad company just in itself. But all this bad company showing up. Then here comes the prophet of God along. And he says, David, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get up and shake yourself. And you're going to have to get out of this town, which I don't remember right now what the name of it was. I believe it was Ziglag. But you're going to have to get out of this town that means a place to hide. And you're going to have to get yourself to Judah. Now, what does Judah mean? It means praise. It means you're going to have to quit hiding from the devil. And you're going to have to get yourself over here to a place of praise. And you know, old David, he received the word of God. When the prophet of God came with the word of God, he received it and he saw, you know what, that's what I have to do. And he got himself up and he cleaned himself up and he left that place of hiding. And he went to Judah. In other words, he went to a place of praise. And he got to praising God. And before that chapter was over, that same chapter, in the beginning of it, he was hiding out and slobbering in his beard. And in the end of it, there was another man there that was afraid of something. And he told that man, said, just stay with me because the Lord is on my side. I'll not fear what man can do to me. And if you're with me, you'll be okay because God is on my side. Now, see, just all that had to change was what was coming out of his mouth and what was going on in his mind. His circumstances didn't change at all. But he got to praising God instead of hiding out and being filled with fear and anxiety. And all of a sudden, he knew. He had confidence. All right, so now in Psalm 56, right quickly. Verse, he says in the beginning, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high." So once again, we find David in serious trouble. They people trying to kill him. But he said in verse 3, What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He said, Lord, fear is trying to get me, but I choose to trust in you instead. And he said, verse 4, in God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity and thine anger cast down the people, O God? Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. What did he say? God, all my enemies is out here trying to kill me. You see what bunch of trouble I got? But verse 9, he says, but Lord, when I cry unto thee, cry doesn't mean shed tears in this case. It's talking about when I pray. Lord, when I cry out to you, then my enemies are going to turn back. This I know. Sound like confidence, doesn't it? For God is for me. And in God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And just psalm after psalm, we see this with David where he is in serious trouble, but then he sees that what he's going to have to do is begin to express out of his mouth his trust and faith and confidence in God and begin to stand on the word of God. He said, I praise your word, and I know, God, that you're on my side, and these people don't have a chance against me. And see, that is how we practice the word and pray in confidence, is even when we have trouble. You can see David, a lot of times he'll struggle with it through a few verses. It's fear and faith trying to fight in him. But then he'll make himself begin to say what the word of God says about him. He'll begin to confess the word and speak the word and say, you know, he's the one that said, Psalm 117, verse 18, wasn't it? He's the one that said, and that Psalm 107, that was one of the, he was in one of the worst problems that he'd ever been in. And he said in that Psalm, I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. And then it's one of the worst days he's having in his life. Everything is going wrong. And you know what else he said in that same Psalm? He said, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. One of the worst days he ever had, he said, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. After that, it wasn't one of the worst days he ever had. All of a sudden, it got good. Now, what we're talking about is practicing the Word. See, you heard the message tonight. You heard about you got to get rid of your cares and your concerns and your anxieties and your worries and your fears, and you got to lay aside those weights if you want to be effective. You have to have peace. You have to have confidence. You have to know that when I pray, I'm praying the will of God. How do you know? Because I read it in the Bible, so I know it's His will. You have to know then that because I prayed the will of God, I know God heard me. And you know, your confidence is that if you know that God heard you, you know you got the answer. I call up my mother. Now, I don't usually get in this shape, but I could. It happens to me a lot. Now my children don't have to do this much, but my grandchildren are doing it. Papa, I need $20. I'll pay you back. Well, they know. You know what they know? They know if I hurt them, they got it. They know if I hurt. Now, this is the ones that paid me back, right? I done told them. You've got it. You better keep good credit with me. Leslie told them, you better keep good credit with your grandpa, because this might not be the only time you need to call him. I'm not worried about the money. I want to teach them the right principles about what to do with it. All right? Papa, can you let me have $20 for a couple of days? I say, come and get it. They know that if I hurt them, they know. Why? Because they knew it was my will before they called me. They knew I wanted to bless them. One reason, because I blessed them so many times before. They knew I wanted to bless them. They didn't have to worry. Oh, I wonder if it would be. Now, Jordan borrowed $20 from me about 2 weeks ago, and it's the first time. That kid is almost 19 years old. I'm 18. How old is she? Almost 18, right. That's bad enough, because she's not my oldest one. And had never, until about 2 weeks ago, borrowed any money from me. And she came, and she's working, but she came by, and it was her mother's birthday, and she came by here and said, I don't get paid till Monday, but I want to get my mama something for her birthday. Can you loan me some money? I said, how much you need? She knew she was going to get it when she walked in the door, because she knows me. And she knew if I hurt her, she's going to get it. This is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything according to His will. Do you know your Father? Have you found out He loves you, wants to bless you? If you ask anything according to His will, this is the confidence we have. We know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we ask of Him. Practice that. Now, if you cannot believe for something great big that God will do it for you, get down to a level where you can believe and start praying and start believing. Kenneth Hagin Jr., you know, his daddy is a great man of faith. But I heard Ken Hagin Jr. say years ago that he pastors a church, and he's also the president of their Bible school now, but he said, I don't know if he still does this, but I got a feeling he probably does. He said, now I get a salary from the church, but he said, I don't use that for my own person. He said, I give that to my wife, and it goes into the family budget and so forth. And he said, because I choose to believe God for all my discretionary spending money. He said, if there's something I want outside of, just want, something I want, I will not take money out of the household budget and spend for it. And he says, not because we can't afford to do it, it's because I want to exercise my faith. Because that builds me up. When I see God provide $100 for something that I just want, supernaturally, then when I really got something big I need from God, I can look back on that, and that has built my faith. So what I'm encouraging you to do, the way you practice the Word, is start using your faith. Start living by faith. Little things. The little things of life, trust God for them. And when you see Him work, you can just say, glory to God, look at there. It might not be a big thing, but you will know there was no way naturally that could have happened. That was God, right? Let's stand up. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for the Word of God. And Father, thank You that it's because, Lord, that You are so faithful. You have shown Yourself faithful, that we can have total trust and confidence in You. And when we pray, then we can be assured, Lord, that the answer is ours if it's in the Word of God. And we praise you for that now, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. If there's anybody here tonight that you need prayer about any situation in life,